This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, FRC recognized True Blue members of Congress this morning on Capitol Hill. Those are members of Congress who were 100% with FRC in the last session of Congress. We'll talk with one of them, and we'll discuss the House's actions to cancel former President Obama's gift to Planned Parenthood. Ohio Congressman Brad Winstrup joins me in just a moment. And breaking news out of Washington State today, the state Supreme Court there has ruled that a florist who refused to participate in a same-sex wedding broke the state's anti-discrimination law. That florist, Baronelle Stutzman, joins me later here on Washington Watch. Also, who gets disciplined when a professor calls the election of President Trump an act of terrorism? The teacher or the student who reported it? Caleb O'Neill, a student at Orange Coast College in Costa Mesa, California, joins me along with his attorney, Bill Becker, a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website is tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right. Earlier today, the Family Research Council, NFRC Action, honored members of Congress with its True Blue Award for those members' unwavering commitment and consistent support of faith, family, and freedom. And I tell you, folks, we had a bumper crop today. A lot of members in the House were True Blue, which is encouraging. We're seeing more and more, not just Republicans, not just conservatives, but a lot of Christians who are here for the right reason to do the right thing in the right way. And one of those joins us now, Congressman Brad Winstrup, who represents the 2nd Congressional District of the state of Ohio. He was one of those that we honored this morning. Brad, welcome to Washington Watch.
Be with you, and I appreciate the award coming from you guys and maintaining the pillars of faith, family, and freedom. I'm honored.
Well, we appreciate your strong stand since you have arrived here in Congress. You've joined a large number, almost 140, 139 members of the House of Representatives were honored with the award for the second session of the 114th Congress, scoring a perfect 100% on this year's scorecard. You know, the values that you and so many of your colleagues represent, I mean, these are mainstream values. I mean, we're seeing more and more members. In fact, there's just one vote would have made a difference and probably added another 75. And so you're finding there's a large number of solid conservatives here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, there really are, thank goodness. And now we have a chance to do something with it. We're going to take every opportunity that we can. You know, America was built on the goodness of these values, and to see them slipping away is very uncomfortable for families around the country. And I think they've spoken up, and hopefully we can make some change and make people feel better about where we're headed.
Yeah, folks, just to give you an idea of some of the votes that we scored, what we do, how this works is we send up a letter. We take a letter up to Congress and we say, hey, this is something that we believe families across America are concerned about. And so we're going to record this vote and we're going to distribute it across the country. Votes like defunding Planned Parenthood and repealing key parts of Obamacare, authorizing school choice, preventing the Veterans Administration from recommending marijuana, eliminating taxpayer funding of abortion here in the District of Columbia. Voting against special privileges based on sexual orientation and gender identity in hiring. Preventing federal funds from undermining religious freedom. Voting against taxpayer funding of abortion for federal employee benefits. And the list goes on. Those types of issues, these members of Congress standing strong for. Congressman, let's talk a moment about Planned Parenthood. We mentioned Planned Parenthood. On the way out the door, President Obama, in his final days, put in place a rule that didn't go through Congress. He simply did it with his pen and his phone to say that states could not defund Planned Parenthood with their block grant money. Today, the House took that up.
We did, and we used the Congressional Review Act to overturn Title X and the abortion funding rule that the president put in place. You know, Title X is a family planning program authorized in 1970. It was intended to provide family planning services to low-income women, not life-ending services. That was not the intent of that back in 1970. And then the president delivered this gift to Planned Parenthood right before he left, and today we reversed that. And, you know, states now have the authority, as states like Ohio did, where I'm from, to choose where the Title X funding funds are going, and that's not Planned Parenthood. It can't go to an institute that promotes abortion and does abortion. And, you know, Planned Parenthood in 2014 alone did over 300,000 abortions across the United States. And, you know, we have passed the Hyde Amendment. It's always been a temporary measure that we put on to bills time and time again, which was theoretically preventing funding to abortion and to Planned Parenthood, specifically for abortion. Well, this makes it permanent that you can't do that, and we want to invest the money. We didn't reduce the funds, but what we do is allow states to direct those funds to community health centers and hospitals that offer far more comprehensive coverage than Planned Parenthood does. You know, I noticed recently they're trying to run a commercial saying how they really care for the pregnant woman, but most of them don't offer basic prenatal care. And so that's kind of a fraud and a reaction to what America is finding out, and they're trying to cover it up.
Congressman Winthrop, I want to zero in on something you just said for a moment on this Congressional Review Act, where Congress nullified that 11th hour Obama administration rule. You made permanent what happens here under the Congressional Review Act is that no president now can, by executive order, do what this president did because Congress has reversed it and has affirmatively said the states can do this. So this would have to pass Congress in order for this type of policy to be implemented again in the future.
Correct. And so what this does, now keep in mind, this is just the House passing it today.
Right.
And it can go to the Senate. And most people are aware that the Senate can be tricky. But under the Congressional Review Act, the Senate only needs a simple majority vote. They do not need 60 votes to be able to move this forward, and then we need the president to sign it. So this is a light at the end of the tunnel for so many things for us to be able to use this mechanism to enhance pro-life matters.
Let me ask you, Congressman Winthrop, as the president did this 2 days before he left office, do you think that he thought Congress would reverse this gift that he had given to Planned Parenthood?
I have a feeling he knew that we were going to take this opportunity to do that. Maybe he didn't, but he just wanted to do it anyway. I can't get into his mind, but I have a feeling he knew that this was a possibility for us and wanted us to have to do it after he leaves, I guess. But this is great to have the opportunity to do it, and I think the pro-life world should be pleased that we're taking this action, and I know that they are.
Well, and it's certainly the state policymakers that have aggressively been taking on Planned Parenthood to defund them now are unshackled and can do that. If this passes the Senate, and there is expectation that it will pass the Senate because of the threshold of just 51 votes. We're talking about the pro-life, Congressman Winthrop. Let's talk just for a moment. We've been talking about this every day as more information has kind of been coming out, the speaker making more comments about the repeal and replace of Obamacare. Some concern has surfaced in the last few weeks is this discussion about the replacement, about refundable tax credits and the means by which they're going to replace Obamacare, that abortion funding or subsidies would be included in that. Do you think that aspect, that concern has been resolved, or is that still a threat?
No, I think that will be resolved. You know, we're getting there. This is going to be a meticulous process for which we have to be very careful. You know, the very fact of the matter is, for example, Humana just pulled out, and so in several counties in the country, next year they have no choice. And the Affordable Care Act is a law right now that says if you don't buy insurance on the exchange, then you will be penalized. And yet there'll be areas where there are no there's no product on the exchange. We don't want to pull the rug out from people on care and having insurance, but what we do want to do is make sure that we move forward where we have a transition period that makes sense, and it's multifaceted, and there's many components that we have to use and can use. For example, some things will come through the secretary. We just got Secretary Price in place.
Right.
When the bill was written, no one imagined there'd be a Republican secretary, I don't think, or a pro-life secretary. And so there's a lot of authority within the bill for the secretary. So that's one component of it. There's other things that we can do through reconciliation. And then there are the components that we are going to have to legislate. So we're working hard to get this together, and we will continue to have it be a pro-life agenda, at least what I saw this morning in the discussions we had today, that we do not want to have the intention of funding abortion in any way.
Yeah, and clearly that's where a majority of Americans are, and without question where the vast majority of conservative Republican voters are as well. Congressman, thanks so much for joining us, and congratulations, Congressman Winstrup, on being a true blue member of Congress.
Thank you. I'm honored. You have a great day, Tony.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Excuse me. Brad Winstrup from Ohio's 2nd Congressional District, one of the true blue recipients, 139 of them. I'm telling you, the numbers are growing. And it's not that the votes are getting easier. We're still keeping a high threshold, but they're doing it. And part of that, a large part of it, is because of you. When you put in those phone calls, when you see them when they're back in their districts, when you're communicating with them about the issues we talk about, it makes a huge difference. I remember before we started our daily radio program, I was meeting with a member of Congress. He said, you know what? The phones don't ring like they used to. We don't have anybody on radio talking about it. These issues that are important to faith and to family and freedom. And that was really what launched us onto a daily radio program. And thanks to many of you, the phones are ringing on Capitol Hill again when they need to ring. And I'm going to tell you, this Obamacare repeal and replace, you're going to have to pay attention. I'm very concerned. Again, I was on the Hill talking to members today. I think they need to just simply go forward with what they did in 2015, the end of the year, where they, through reconciliation, repealed the vast majority of Obamacare, defunded Planned Parenthood. They've already passed it. It went to the president's desk under Obama. He vetoed it. They can do the same thing again. They know they can do it. They should do that and then put pressure on the Democrats in the Senate to support a replace plan that is thoroughly vetted and thought out. I don't want to be accused of going to the Nancy Pelosi School of Public Policy. You pass it and then you find out what's in it. I don't want to do that. Anyway, hey, if you're not already receiving our alerts, you need to sign up for those. Go to TonyPerkins.com and sign up so you know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. All that can be found at TonyPerkins.com. All right, coming up next, the Washington State Supreme Court has found that a florist is guilty of breaking the state's anti-discrimination law, even though she claimed doing so would violate her religious beliefs. We'll have the florist and her attorney after the break. Don't go away.
It is interesting that in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the first and last rays of sunlight fall every day upon its tallest building, the 555-foot Washington Monument. And there on its top, inscribed on the four-sided aluminum capstone, are the Latin words Laos Deo, which means praise be to God. This simple expression of praise reflects America's abiding belief that God has blessed our country with liberty and divine favor. Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman again. We're going to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, for our spiritual heritage tours in June and September, and we'll see this Washington Monument. That's only one of the many monuments and places we'll see. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will lead the way as we talk about the places, the time, the events, and the people of our early American Christian heritage. For more information, visit the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this family, Jeremy and Sharon, and a couple kids, and they're all very healthy, and they did something to save money. They switched from health insurance to MediShare, and then they had a third baby, a little girl named Anya, and she was very sick.
We've had a lot of hospital visits.
A whole week in a children's hospital, CAT scans and blood tests and chemical tests, and I think we saw a dozen doctors. It was all shared.
Yeah, the bills were shared by the other members of MediShare. That's how this works. So get this, they save hundreds a month. They don't have to deal with health insurance companies or government health care plans, and they get to be part of a community that cares.
MediShare has always been there for us and helped meet the needs that we have as a family.
It's no wonder this is growing so fast. It is worth looking into. Here's how. Call 855-PSALM-23. Now, it's available everywhere but Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. You know, God has allowed us to go all over the country to serve as 8 Days of Hope. We've been to Illinois, New York, Texas, North Carolina, pretty much from coast to coast. And it's so awesome to meet homeowners. They're just so encouraged. I mean, sometimes we rebuild their homes. Other times we put a tarp on the roof or do chainsaw work. We have never charged anybody anything for our services. Very simply, we do it because God commands us to love others just as He loves us. If you're interested in being part of 8 Days of Hope, either with our rapid response team that goes anywhere in the country within 3 to 4 days of a disaster, or in our rebuilding efforts like we did last year in South Carolina, please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, click Get Involved or Volunteer, and we will notify you anytime God calls us to go and serve those who suffer from disaster. 8daysofhope.com or on Facebook.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right. Again, let me encourage you, if you're not already receiving the information from the Family Research Council, like our alerts, legislative alerts, daily update, you can get that at tonyperkins.com. This will help you respond to these issues in real time as they come up. It's so important. You are making a huge difference when you participate in that process. And as I said, the reason we are getting more and more members of Congress, first getting elected, is because they, you know, a lot of them actually were a part of the outreach of the Family Research Council. They were getting the material and they got more involved and they ended up running for Congress, or they contacted us. We supported them. We helped them. And now they're listening to constituents like you who are informed and engaged. And so it's helping us actually accomplish these things. And I'm looking forward to being able to get a lot done here, hopefully in the next couple of years, but it's going to take a team effort, meaning you're going to have to be involved and participating. All right, today in Washington State, the state Supreme Court handed down a decision on a case that we've been tracking for quite some time. It's the case of Baronelle Stutzman. Now, in 2013, she had a customer came in and wanted her to do his same-sex wedding. Now, it had been a long-time customer that she had served, not a problem, but she just said, look, you know I'm a Christian, and I can't do this because this is sacred. Marriage is sacred. And it would be a violation of my beliefs. Well, they hugged and he went on. Well, turned out the state of Washington took action and literally sued Baronelle Stutzman. And the ACLU was a part of it. And it went all the way up to the state Supreme Court, and today they handed down a decision basically saying that she had violated the state's anti-discrimination law, and on really at risk here, not just her business, but her home and everything that she owns. Now, as my understanding, her defense, her attorneys representing her, Alliance Defending Freedom, that they're going to appeal this to the United States Supreme Court. We're waiting for them to connect. They're supposed to connect with us, and we're going to get the latest from Kristen Wagner, who is her attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom. And as I said, Baronelle Stutzman herself is going to join us also. This underscores, by the way, the need to address the issue of religious freedom both at the state level and the national level. And this is one of the things we've been communicating with the Trump administration, that the president needs to issue an executive order that would prohibit the federal government. Now, it wouldn't correct in this case of Baronelle, wouldn't address this because that's the state being the rogue actor there, but it would keep the federal government from penalizing people based upon their religious views when it comes to marriage or human sexuality. Because the state, the federal government can take punitive action and against people. Could be the IRS. They could deny them their tax-exempt status. They could deny them contracts. We actually see that already unfolding. And so that's why we need these protections, these religious freedom protections. You might recall back during the debate over marriage, when Justice Alito asked the question of the Solicitor General of the United States, they were talking about a case about Bob Jones University. Alito asked him about that case where Bob Jones had a dating policy that ran afoul of the federal government's anti-discrimination, and they lost their tax exemption, and so, or it was challenged. And so he said, you know, would this same, could this be applied as well on marriage to these nonprofit educational institutions and others? And he, the Solicitor General, who represented the Obama administration, said, this could be a problem. And in fact, we are seeing that it is a problem. And so it has to be affirmatively addressed, meaning that those protections have to be put in place. Well, joining me now is Kristen Wagner with Alliance Defending Freedom. She represented Baronelle there in Washington State. Kristen, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. I've got Baronelle on the line, too.
Oh, great. I didn't know if we had Baronelle or not. Well, Baronelle, welcome back to Washington Watch as well.
Thank you.
All right. I just kind of I gave the history of the case and announced, let our listeners know what happened today in the state Supreme Court there in Washington.
Well, we're deeply disappointed in today's decision. The Washington Supreme Court ruled against Baronelle and held that she is a small business owner, is a creative professional, and someone who has loved and respected everyone who's walked through her shop's door, stands to lose all she owns, her retirement, her life savings, and her home, just because she declined to design custom expression for a single event that violated her conscience.
Baronelle, what was your reaction today when the court handed down that decision?
Well, I was really disappointed. I was hoping that they would uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. You know, we have the right of religious freedom and conscience and to live our conscience according to our faith. So I was very disappointed.
But you're not finished. This isn't the last word.
No, sir.
Kristen, we're up against a break, but I understand that you are going to challenge this decision. Is that right?
We will be, yes. We'll be definitely appealing to the United States Supreme Court.
All right. We want to get you back on again, Kristen and Baronelle, to talk more about this, because as I was talking a few moments ago, this is why we need religious freedom protections in this country. Baronelle, we're going to continue to pray for you. Kristen, thank you, and thank you for what you and ADF, what you do. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, folks, sorry, we're up against that break, but we got another story for you coming when we come back from the break, and that is, who gets disciplined when a professor calls the election of President Trump an act of terrorism? the teacher or the student who reported it. We'll talk about it next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, U.S. stock index is closed at a fifth record session in a row. That's the longest record-setting streak for all the benchmark indices since January of 1992. President Trump has promised a massive, his words, tax plan in the not-too-distant future. Certainly, the idea of corporate tax reform, along with personal tax reform, is key to this rally, and I'm sure that is adding an awful lot of fuel to the fire. There were some concerns, as I talked about some time ago, about we cannot wait more than 150 days into this presidency before we unveil corporate tax reform as well as individual tax reform, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen at all. It's going to be unveiled. Now, getting it in place is going to be another story. That might take until early summer. Late spring, but nonetheless, it is look like it's going to be unveiled, and that has given the rally some good solid foundation. I would expect that there would be a breather here soon as we start to see some profit taking. Oil retreats today. It looks like it's going to continue to retreat for the rest of the week, primarily due to inventory numbers that came out. Again, another record. A record level of inventories in crude oil that we haven't seen since 1982. So significant increase. By the way, that increase was unexpected. Gasoline inventories were expected to be down about 500,000 barrels. Instead, it was up 2.8 million barrels. That's a significant change. So all of that is going to have oil a little sluggish for the rest of the week.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
This is Washington Watch, and I'm Tony Perkins. All right, last November, Caleb O'Neill, a freshman student at Orange Coast College in Costa Mesa, California, that's in Orange County, a very conservative area, had his iPhone in class and recorded an instructor engaged in an anti-Trump rant. This is right after the election. In fact, I want you to hear this, okay? I want you to hear what was said, what was recorded here after the election by a professor at a public institution of higher learning. Here's what was said. Listen to this.
White supremacist and a vice president that is one of the most anti-gay humans in this country. And so we are in for a difficult time, but again, I do believe that we can get past that. Our nation is divided. We have been assaulted. It's an act of terrorism. One of the most frightening things for me and most people in my life is that the people committing the assault are among us. It is not some stranger from some other country coming in and attacking our sense of what it means to be an American and the things that we stand for. And that makes it more painful because I'm sure that all of us have people in our families and our circle of friends that are a part of that movement, and it is very difficult. We are way beyond Republicans and Democrats, and we're really back to being a civil war. And I don't mean it in a fighting way, but our nation is divided as clearly as it was in Civil War times. And my hope is that we will get some good leadership to help us to overcome that. I will go over some coping skills, but before I do that, I do want you to know that the optimist in me, first of all, we are the majority. More of us voted to not have that kind of leadership, and we didn't win because of the way our electoral college is set up, but we are the majority, and that's helping me to feel better.
Okay, that was at the Democratic Party headquarters. No, that was at a public-funded institution of higher learning. And I put that in quotations. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So what happened was that professor who went on the rant calling those who support the election of Donald Trump as an act of terrorism, was she removed? No. Let's talk about what happened. Joining me now is the student himself who recorded that, Caleb O'Neill, and his attorney, Bill Becker, with Freedom X. Caleb, Bill, welcome to Washington Watch.
How's it going?
Good. Glad you all could join us. All right, Caleb. So what happened after you made that recording public?
I didn't make it public. I after the recording, we had a meeting with the president of the school, and we showed him and voiced our concerns about what was going on around the campus and how it felt like we were being targeted. And we showed him the video of Olga, and he basically said, "Thank you for that. I'll try to get someone onto it and talk to her about it." And then the next class, teacher's assistant ran down to talk to Olga, and just pointing over in my direction. I was trying to figure it out. So at the break, we have a mid break, and at break, I went to my friend, told me that that she was pointing at you and saying, "The one in the white," and Olga said, "Yeah, the one in the white." So that really terrified me to the point where I thought the administration and even Olga were going to try to come down on my grades. So then I told Josh, "Hey, this is what happened." And then I guess small world media outlets picked it up, and it blew up a huge story.
So
I try to remain anonymous out of the whole thing because I didn't want any attention.
But you felt like Orange County is a very conservative area. I'm out there quite a bit. In fact, I'll be in there a few weeks. Were students feeling like they were being made uncomfortable with the comments that were being made by this professor who's being funded with tax dollars?
Yeah, I know that a lot of students in that class felt very uncomfortable. I mean, the guys in my Republicans, and one took it as a rant, another one took it as a kind of attack on him too. So, but they don't want to be named at all. But I was the only one that was able to catch on video because I was terrified of my grade, and also I was scared that someone would actually come after me in the parking lot because I do have 3 Trump stickers on my car. And during that whole time, Trump supporters were being attacked if they were in the wrong part of the neighborhood, basically, with anti-Trump supporters.
Was this an isolated incident, or is this the type of stuff that students are subjected to on a regular basis?
Well, I don't know about all around, but I know at Coast that usually the teachers will allow. They usually, like the liberal ones, will talk about it, and they'll use kind of the same verbatim. But at the end of the day, they allow you to debate and talk about what's and allow you to have a voice in the class. And in that forum of 200, it seemed like she basically was just telling her opinion and left no room for anyone else. And kind of, I felt like I was being attacked and my grade would suffer because of this.
So, Bill, I know you're representing Caleb. What was the outcome of this case?
Well, we're appealing the decision suspending him, placing him on a year probation, ordering him to write an essay explaining why he took the video, why it went viral on the internet, and why it damaged the college's reputation and the faculty, and also apologizing to the instructor. That appeal, we filed a 14-page legal argument with the college yesterday. And
hey, Bill, we're up against the break. Can you and Caleb hold on for just a second? We're up 2 minutes. We'll be back from a break. I want to finish this conversation. This is unbelievable, folks. A professor goes on a rant saying that the election of Trump is an act of terror and the student is penalized.
We all know what it feels like. We try to avoid it. Experts define it as an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or describes in terms of such damage. What is it? It's pain. Did you realize that you probably started feeling pain at a very young age, or even before you were born? Scientific studies have increased our knowledge of life inside the womb. We now have strong evidence that unborn babies can feel pain by 20 weeks or earlier. At Family Research Council, we believe that all babies are worth protecting. We also hope that even those who don't share our pro-life commitment will listen to the medical community and support laws that protect the unborn child from cruel suffering. For more information, visit frc.org/fetal pain. That is frc.org/fetal pain.
American Family Association began in 1977 as the National Federation for Decency. Founded by Don Wildman, our mission is to inform, equip, and activate people like you to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church. American Family Association is one of the largest and most effective pro-family organizations in the country, and it's because of God's blessings and the generosity of people like you.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
I think income ultimately is the most important thing that we protect. I know one thing, and I know this from sitting across a lot of tables from a lot of people over the years, that at some point in time, maybe it's 75, maybe it's 85, there will be a point in time where the only thing you care about is how much income you have coming in. Don't let your portfolio be 100% subject to the volatility in the markets or dependent upon the market. Shore up some permanent income along with Social Security and your maybe a pension. Have some charitable gift annuity to shore that up. I hope you'll call the AFA Foundation today and find out more detail about a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. All right, as we were talking about with Caleb O'Neill and his attorney Bill Becker with Freedom X, Caleb, a freshman student at Orange Coast College in Costa Mesa, California, after the November election, recorded an instructor, Olga Perez Stable Cox, that was going on a rant against Trump, saying that electing him was an act of terrorism and all kinds of other stuff. Well, As he stated, he took this to the administration. They didn't do anything with it. He was concerned that they may come after his grade. The thing went, was released. It went viral. It wasn't the professor who is funded with government money, tax money, that was punished or reprimanded for going on a political rant in front of her students. It was the student who was suspended. And then put on probation. Caleb, Bill, thanks for sticking around. So, Bill, what do you think the outcome of this may be?
So they've got 30 days to respond to our notice of appeal, and if they don't withdraw all of their penalties, then we're going to file suit in Orange County Federal Court. We've got a number of what we think are very strong legal theories. And the outcome is going to be, by hook or by crook, he is not going to be punished for exercising his First Amendment right not to be, First Amendment right to be free of retaliation because of his overt support of Donald Trump on campus. You realize he wore his Make America Great hat, his Vote for Trump shirt, and other political message clothing to class, and this teacher knew that he was a Trump supporter. She was directly threatening him and threatening to dock his grade. So that's why he took the videotape. And so we're going to get him completely vindicated. But I just want to say I missed the Baronelle Stutzman segment. I want to send my prayers to her. It's just disgusting what's going on in this country. But you know what? We're going to turn it around, and I think right now we've got massive support for Caleb's case, and we need more support. But he was victimized. He's a great student with a 3.8 grade average GPA from last semester, and they treat him, a Christian student, who's a straight up arrow. They treat him as though he's the wrongdoer, when this lesbian instructor who teaches about sadomasochism and brings prostitutes to class and gives extra credit for kids to go to strip clubs and that sort of thing. And she's the hero to the administration. That's a backwards world on that campus, and we're going to change it.
Well, the first step to changing, as you said, making these things right, is having people like Caleb who are willing to stand up even though there's risk involved here. And so, yep. Caleb, I commend you for having the courage to stand up and take on this wrong. I want to ask you a question about, Bill, about the legal aspects here. They said that he violated a policy of prohibiting, it's prohibited to record someone on the property of the school without the person's consent. And I find that almost laughable, because I recall my days in college where routinely you record a lecture in order to, compensate for the notes that you might miss. I cannot imagine.
Everybody does it.
Yes. And yeah. So is this a selective application of this prohibition?
Absolutely is. It's selective enforcement of a policy that is never enforced, and would not be enforced if the professor or the instructor, she's not a professor, if the instructor had said, I'm so happy Trump won the election because of his views on Muslims, Mexicans, and what a great day it is in America. He would have been the one to be disciplined or discharged, and the videographer would have been called out as a hero and congratulated for it. So this is, again, the Kool-Aid that they drink in academia on the left is not allowing them to see the forest for the trees. They have a double standard. They're applying it in this case. And when I'm asked the question, isn't there a law and isn't there a policy and shouldn't they be able to enforce it, I have to remind people that laws are elastic. They're not strict. There are mitigating circumstances that need to be taken into account. In this case, the fact that Caleb took the video for the purpose of documenting unconstitutional threatening activity. Right. That was his purpose.
And he took it to the administrators. Yeah.
Yes. And it wasn't to shame her. He wasn't responsible for posting it online. In fact, he didn't even have a Facebook page at the time and didn't know how it worked. So he's not responsible for the fact that Ms. Cox, got four names, so I always forget which one to use, but Ms. Cox has been shamed by the public for statements that she never should have made. Presumably, she thought that they were fair statements to make in public, and especially to impressionable 19-year-olds. But apparently, she had to be taught the lesson that she's a bigot.
Well, if she's been shamed by it, that's her problem. She's the one that chose to use that language and to say those things. Look, if she can say it in front of the students, it should be fair game for the rest of the society or the rest of the community to see what their tax dollars are funding, the way I look at it.
Well, I've had enough with the anarchy. We know how the left throws temper tantrums. They act like children. They act violent. They riot. They do everything but engage in civil discourse and debate. They don't know how to get their message across that way. And so they have to be vindictive, and they have to seek retribution when they don't get their way.
Yeah.
But we're not going to stand for it in this case. And I think that we have a chance here, whereas in Washington State and other jurisdictions, the courts have just completely lost their minds.
Caleb, one final question for you. What's been the response from your friends? I know there's been some backlash, some demonstrations out there on the campus, but what have you heard from those that support free speech?
They're all supportive of me. Really cool is my friend's dad from Idaho came down to watch one of the scrimmages we had for rowing, And he came up and he wanted to shake my hand. He said, I drove all the way down to watch my son and shake your hand because what you did was off. So, I mean, I'm getting a lot of support from a lot of people. So
and
it's really
we
good.
Raised a lot of money today, Tony, for his case by being in the media. So I just want to mention that our website is freedomxlaw.com, and people can donate there or contact us by email if they want to send a payment, and we'll give them that information.
Great. Well, we'll put that. We've got that link up on our website as well. And Caleb, again, thank you for having the courage to stand up. And Bill, thank you for the work that you're doing at FreedomX. We've got to defend this first freedom, and appreciate you guys doing just that. Thanks so much for being
with
us.
It's all for God's glory. Thank you, Tony.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. That was Caleb O'Neill and his attorney, Bill Becker, with FreedomX. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. I mean, it almost leaves you speechless. But lest you think that this is an isolated case of a lesbian instructor who is going on a rant against Donald Trump, who is funded with at a public institution with taxpayer dollars, lest you think that's isolated, it's not. And as Bill was pointing out, if she would have made the comment that, oh, it's so great, we've got a president who is going to stop people who want to come into this country and kill us, like those from Muslim countries, I mean, they would have been gone in a heartbeat. And the person who recorded it hailed a hero. I mean, everything is so backwards on these college and university campuses. It's incredible. But this is where the rubber hits the road. Look, you got to, and I understand this because I've got children that age that are in college and they're concerned about, you know, when they speak up or when they say something, you know, the professor. And I remember this even from my days that, you know, you want to be careful because the person who gives you your grade can basically sink you. And there's a lot of the professors, the instructors have a lot of leverage. And so Caleb standing up, I commend him. And he did it. And notice how he did it, though. I think it's very important how he did it. His intention was not to create a problem. His intention was to solve it. He recorded it because he felt it was being directed at him and he wanted to fix the problem. So he takes it to the administrators. And they refused to deal with it. And then it got out. Well, I think it's time we challenge these things, that we not be silent. And we were talking about this yesterday with George Barna. Two-thirds of SageCons, that's the social conservatives, conservative Christians, are ready to change America. Change it. Just like this. Stand up. Refuse to let this type of garbage go unchallenged. So if you can help Caleb and stand with him, support them, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, I'm going to work in a couple of phone calls here. We're not going to have much time. I really wanted to get the rest of that interview out. But I mean, do you see that there's a double standard? That if a Christian professor or instructor would have spoken about the election from a biblical worldview. I'm so glad we've got a president who said he is going to free the pulpits so they can speak to the issues of our day, whether it's about abortion or about marriage. You know, just saying those things on some of these campuses caused these snowflakes to melt. And so that instructor, no doubt, would have probably been reprimanded. There is a double standard. It's clear. But we have to, I'm not saying that we should take away people's speech rights. But what I don't think is that it should be a double standard. I think conservatives, if liberals can stand up there and say that the results of the election was an act of terrorism, the other side, Christian conservatives, should say, you know what, we've been given a reprieve by God and not be retaliated against by the administration. All right, let's go to Florida, where Nathan is on the line. Nathan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to make a couple quick comments. Here in Jacksonville, Florida, at a local college here, they were having a sex week, which was basically...
They confine it to just a week? I thought that was happening all the time there now.
Well, this is just a week. This was some sort of like classes, sex education and stuff for the university. And two of the classes were removed until after our city council voted on adding sexual orientation, gender identity to our human rights ordinance. Because they didn't want anything controversial to affect the vote. Basically, they didn't want to show where this kind of stuff is going. And unfortunately, the city council did pass that ordinance. But for everyone in Jacksonville, the mayor, it can still veto it. So call the mayor, 630-1776, and encourage him to veto our the SOGI law. But it just goes to show how our universities are very desperately wicked. There's a lot of darkness there. And they are, you know, without an absolute standard, there's no limitation to what marriage is, what gender is, anything like that.
Now, Nathan, are you a student at the local college?
No, I'm not.
Okay. All right. So they have just postponed that sex week? Have they just pending?
They posted it. They put it back online the day after the vote. They voted on it on Valentine's Day, unfortunately.
Amazing. Thank you, Nathan. Appreciate you calling in and alerting folks there in Jacksonville, Florida. We were aware that. We were kind of tracking that. And John Stenberger, who heads up the Florida Family Policy Council there in the state of Florida, been working on that issue. John and do great work down there in Florida. And here's a thing, folks. You know, those that have college-age children that are on these campuses really need to be paying attention to what their dollars are funding. And this is another thing for legislators. This is another avenue of approach. All of these institutions get state dollars. They need to be held accountable. If they're going to have a double standard, then that needs to be brought to their attention when they're at those state legislatures looking for funding. It's time to push back. It really is. I was talking with a reporter today that was asking, you know, what does this election mean? This election means that there is a sense that we have an opportunity to take back this country. Now, I don't think that Donald Trump is the answer. He's a part of the solution, but he's not the answer. The answer is in the truth, the transcendent truth that Christians around this country understand and know. It's the transformation of hearts and minds, but that happens when truth is spoken, and we have to speak it. We have to stand up for it. Do that. Be like Caleb. Folks, thanks so much for being with us. Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Lots of resources there for you. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where it says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.